Thank you. Good day, friends. The opportunity for me to discuss with you some of the wonderful things in the Word of God. You know, I'm more and more amazed at the Word of God in its exactness, in its blessing, in its power, in its cleansing effect. I wish in some way I could put into words just the way I feel about this. I am sure that David had this in mind when he said in the 119th Psalm, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It is true that so many people do not understand the Word of God, and because of this, they stop reading it. My friend, whether you understand it or not, will you please keep on reading the Word of God? May it be your daily portion. And how glad I am that this program is being used of the Lord in so many lives. I do want to thank you for your many letters of blessing which has come to my own heart, for my own encouragement, when I think of the many who are being fed the Scriptures and encouraged to go on with God. Now, we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, 6, and 7. This is the third great division of the book of Matthew, where our Lord proves his judicial right to the throne. That is, if he's a king, he must be able to make law. And as we have gone through this chapter, we've taken up the character of the citizens and the opposition to the citizen and so on, and then the law of the citizens in the kingdom. And our law doesn't just deal with the question of the written law, but also the fact of the spirit of the law. In fact, all the way through in this fifth chapter, it hath been said of them of old time, or it hath been said by Moses, "You shall do certain things, but I say unto you." Our Lord takes superiority over Moses and over the law. And he gets right down to the motives of your heart. He gets right down to what you think and what you would like to do. And gets right down to it, doesn't it? You know, we hide, oftentimes we can hide from others just what we think, or we hide from others what we would like to do. And many things you and I would have liked to have done through the years, but we were afraid we might be found out, or we were afraid of the consequences, or we were afraid it might affect those near us or ourselves. But nevertheless, there was the great desire to do it. And the Lord says, "That's just as bad as if you had done it." That's what God is talking about. This is law. This is not grace. This is not the gospel. This is law. We've been taking this up, and we were dealing with relationship one to the other. Not relationship to God, but relationship to each other, as you have in verses 38 to the end of chapter 5. And we've been talking about receiving personal injury, and how the law said an eye for an eye, but we are to be gracious, and so on. And then grace gives more than us in verses 40 to 42. You remember that in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, the law told the Jew that if someone came, some of the poorer brethren came who were in need, they were to meet that need. They were to help them in their need. Instead of that, the Jews disobeyed God. They didn't do it. Now the Lord says, don't you be like that. If a one is in need, you go and meet his need. Well, what about this question of borrowing? It says here, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Doesn't say what he shall ask. He may want it for some worldly thing, for some fleshly gratification. I think God wants us to use judgment, but he wants us to be gracious. And you know, the Apostle John takes that up in the third and fourth chapters of the book of the Epistle of John, which we had some time ago. This question, if I see a brother in need, and if I'm able to meet his need, and I don't meet his need, even though I could meet his need, the question is raised by John, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And so we go on into verses 43 to 48. And here he is dealing with relationship to our enemies. Tribulation and injustice oftentimes opens the way for the manifestation of love. You know, it's an amazing thing how this is true, which says love your enemies. It says love your neighbors. Seek their peace and so on. You know, how often people who are insane, who sometimes have been bitter against the Lord, some little loving act of some believer has absolutely transformed them. You know, a little while ago, I was on the island of Eleuthera. I was speaking to a Christian high school of dear colored young people, and I happened to see a young lady there, a high schooler, and I said to one of the missionaries, as you know, that girl has real promise. She's got a real personality and so on. And this missionary said, yes, you know, when she came here, she told us very frankly the very first 2 days she was here, she did not want Jesus. She was never going to accept Jesus. She was not going to become a Christian. In fact, she took her wrath out on some of the other youngsters. And when one of the boys called her a name, she just knocked him down. Then she went up to her room. And this missionary, who was responsible for the spiritual life of these high schoolers, went up to her room and found the girl crying, but still mad. In fact, saying, "If I would like to go out there and just punch him again." And now this girl expected to be beaten for what she had done. She'd come from a home, atheistic, ungodly, and was accustomed to being beaten. Whatever she did, she was slapped and beaten. She expected this from the missionary. Instead of that, the missionary just sat down calmly and took her by the hand and began to talk to her about the Lord and said, "You know, the Lord Jesus loves you." Well, the girl had never experienced love in her life before. She expected a thrashing. And as the missionary talked about the love of the Lord Jesus for sinners, the girl just broke down, and afterwards, in the middle of the night, they both got on their knees, and this girl accepted the Savior. Now, what broke it down? The love, divine love, can I say? Divine love in the missionary for this precious girl. And you know, Romans 5:5 says, "The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us." And if I claim to be indwelt by the Spirit of God, then I'm going to manifest love. And as Jesus said in John 15, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." Pardon me, that's in John chapter 13. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other." Now let me read those verses. "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Now, that's in Deuteronomy 23, verse 6. Where the Jew was told not to seek the peace of their enemies. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You know, this is an amazing thing, isn't it? Love your enemies. In Romans chapter 12, verses 14 and verse 20, you have the grace of God. "If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good." You see, we're different. Let's face it. Let's be realistic about it. We're different. We've become the children of God. We've been transformed. We've been brought into fellowship, into relationship with our precious Savior, who loved you, who gave himself a ransom for you, who put away your sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that divine love, which caused him to go to the cross to die for hell-deserving sinners, is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, how can we prove that to people? Well, by, of course, manifesting love. That's very obvious. So Jesus said, don't be like it was in Deuteronomy or Leviticus, where they were told to love their neighbors and hate their enemies. But he said here, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And you know the Lord practiced what he preached. Do you know in Luke 23, when our Lord is on the cross, you know what he said? "Father, forgive them." Did you ever stop to think what they had done to Jesus? He had been scourged, crown of thorns on his head, they spat in his face, they disrobed him, they shamed him, they nailed him to a cross in their hatred, their envy of the Son of God. And yet he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you remember the very first martyr of the Christian church, which you find in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, where Stephen, the first martyr, being stoned to death, said, Father, forgive them. Oh, what a spirit. And even the Apostle Paul, in the first book of Corinthians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, even Paul says, being persecute, we bless. What do you do? What do you do? You know, before I became a Christian, I was ready to fight. If anybody were to curse me, I'd curse them back. If they were to raise a hand to strike me, I'd strike them first. My, how the Lord can transform us. And instead of persecuting them, instead of retaliating, what shall we do? Bless them. Manifest love. The divine love. But Mr. Mitchell, I can't do that. I wasn't made that way. I know you weren't made that way. Neither was I. We were all born in sin. But my friend, when Jesus Christ comes into a life, he transforms us. So that instead of cursing back, we bless. And instead of retaliating, we manifest grace. Now, he gives us the reason for this. In verses 45 to 48, the manifestation of God's children, that you may be, or should I put it, because you are the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, he's talking to the citizens of the kingdom. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Our Lord is gracious to everybody, not only to his children, but to those who hate him, to those who are indifferent to him, to those who spurn him. When the rain comes down upon the earth and waters the ground, it's for the benefit of all humanity, not just for Christians, not just for obedient Christians. It's for the just and for the unjust, for the children of God and for the children of wrath. He manifests love and grace. Oh, how wonderful to know that this is what God is doing today. He's not acting in judgment. He's not even acting in righteousness in the sense that he demands judgment. But he's manifesting love. He's manifesting grace. In fact, if I were to go into the 14th chapter of the Gospel through Luke, where you have a man who made a great feast, and you remember he sent certain ones, give them an invitation. They all turned him down. He said to his servant, you go out and bring in the halt, the lame, the blind. And when the servant came back, he said, there's still plenty of room. You go into the highways and byways and urge them, compel them to come in, that my feast might be furnished with guests. Do you know, my friend, there's the heart of God for men and women. Does God have any interest in men and women? He certainly does. Even in the ungodly, yes. Even in sinners, yes. Even to those who hate him, yes. Yes, he's still pleading with men. As 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not slack, not tardy, concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you know, I just feel I'm talking to somebody today in this program, listening in, and you just, by chance, possibly, listening to the program, may I say to you, friend, that God loves you and has manifested his love for you and his concern for you by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. As Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, and verse 8, when we were yet without strength, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, for you, for me. Oh, wonderful grace, wonderful grace. My friend, am I talking to you and you've never come into right relationship with a Savior? Remember, God loves you, and he has demonstrated that love by giving his Son to die that you might be saved. Now, what shall I do now that I am saved? What's my relationship here on the earth? He's left you and me, and I talk now to you Christians, and I talk to my own heart. Why has he left us on earth? A world that's corrupt and sinful. Why did he leave us here? That we might manifest to men something of the love of our Father. and that we, being his children, ought to manifest his love to men. Listen to what he says. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans do the same? Don't the sinners do the same thing? They love those who love them. It's nothing to pat yourself on the back for because you love somebody who loves you. But to love somebody who doesn't love you, to love maybe somebody who hates you, who has persecuted you. Ah, this is divine love. This is divine love. And oh, how we need to manifest it. It's so easy, and I confess it, it's so easy for us to say the wrong thing, to retaliate, to say nasty things. Oh, listen, maybe manifest something of his divine love. You see, we who are Christians, we are the children of God. And your Father and my Father wants you to manifest to the world something of him, of his heart. And as you have in verse 47 and 48, if you salute your brethren only, don't the sinners do the same? Do not the publicans do the same? Therefore, be ye perfect, be mature, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. If I'm the children of one who is God, if he's my Father, then let me manifest it to somebody else. You know, in John chapter 14, this is exactly what our Lord said to the disciples. You know, one day Philip said to him, to Jesus, show us the Father. In verse 8 and 9 of John 14, and Jesus' answer was, Philip, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and don't you know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. But how was the Father manifested in Jesus? He goes on to say, the works that I do are not mine, they're my Father's. The words that I speak are not mine, they're my Father's. And you know, he goes on to say further, believe me, I am in my Father. Believe me for my very work's sake. See? In other words, the works that I do and the words that I speak, said Jesus, is a revelation of the heart and character of my Father. Now listen, Christian friend, and I'm talking to you who are Christians. You've taken Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been made a partaker of the divine nature. You're the children of one who is God. How is the world going to know that? Except as your works, your deeds, your words, your actions, your attitude should be a manifestation of the fact that you're a child of God. Oh, God grant that you and I may today manifest something of the fact that we are the children of God, that he might be magnified and glorified in all that we are and all that we do. And may the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.